the one who is all truth and there is no lie in him. The creator of all things. The Lord, the God, the Master. The one to whom every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord, he is God, he is Master. The Lord is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He has never changed, he will never change. He is the constant, he is the rock. He is the sure one, the all faithful and trustworthy one. His word cannot fail. His word cannot fail. His word cannot fail. And his love endures forever. And ever, for he is the same yesterday, today, and the present, as he will be in the future. He is the one that works all things together for good, for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. He is the one that leads us through the darkness, times of despair and hopelessness, for he is always working in us. He is causing his character to be worked into us so it will come out of us. Come on, decree it over your life. Decree it over your life. Feeling well, if you're sick, if you have some sort of disease, some sort of ailment, whatever it might be, the Bible says that he sent his word to heal us. So Lord, I pray that we have ears to hear what you are speaking to us now for healing individually, that each person would receive a word, that their faith would not fail them, but they would grow strong in faith and strong in grace. Fear would have no place. doubt and unbelief would have no place. For we are yours. We've been bought with a price. We belong to you. Everything that we have, all of our possessions, all of our finances, all of our resources, all of our talents, our bodies, our very life belongs to you. You purchased it all. Peace, peace. In Jesus' name. Glory be to God. Well, you could be seated if you'd like to. All glory to the Lord. Amen. He's so worthy. So worthy. Well, it's good to be back home. Thank you, every one of you that prayed for us while we were gone. Thank you so much. What's up with last Sunday, huh? Why didn't you guys meet? What's going on? But in all seriousness, thank you guys so much. We're going to have everybody that went to Israel come up and share a testimony here in just a little bit. A word, something that they feel like they want to share with you. This morning, we got a new president, huh? What about that? New government. Bless the Lord. Yes, yes, yes. Amen. Well, I'm going to just share a few things fairly quickly, and then we'll bring some up from the team to share. I just feel like the Lord wants to say something or do something here this morning, and I'm not grasping it completely. But I'll move slowly. So on this trip, we just saw a ton of places. I know Crystal was posting some pictures, and then there was a blog site to follow along. But wow, we just got to see so many things and experience a lot. And it was kind of unique too. We got to see a lot of things, you know, in places where Jesus was, things that happened thousands and thousands of years ago. We also visited three different ministries, current day, present ministries, that are involved in Israel there. And one of them was, his name is Tas or Tasir Sada. He used to work for Arafat, and he was very much like Kamal, was an ex-Muslim terrorist, gave his life to the Lord's, got a ministry there. It was really interesting that Kamal and he are pretty close to the same age, and they both worked for Arafat, and they both have heard of each other but never met. And what's interesting about Tas is from Kansas City. Matter of fact, the day we saw him, he was leaving the very next day to come back here. And as I was talking to him, he's actually lived here in Independence for, I think it was 11 or 13 years. I can't remember how many years. So hopefully, I talked to him about possibly having him while he's in town, and that we may work that out. That would be a great thing to hear personally from him, his testimony, but what's happening in Israel. I had, from a couple different times, on the trip, I was very emotional. Because I was so looking forward to walking where Jesus walked and being right in the place. And One of the first places we went to that we knew Jesus was there was Caesarea Philippi, which is where he had the conversation in Matthew 16 about building the ecclesia, and I had the privilege of preaching there, and that was an emotional time for me too. But I think the most emotional time for me, we saw so many things and experienced so many things. It's going to take several days. I don't know about the rest of you on the team. It's just going to take probably weeks to kind of process a lot of the different things that happened. But I wanted to mention something, two different things, and one of them I'll share maybe at the end, but one of them now. When we went to Capernaum, and Capernaum is a town right on the Sea of Galilee, but it was a place where Jesus actually moved to when he started his ministry, and he lived there. And Peter, James, John, and Matthew were all from Capernaum, and he called them to follow him there. Lots of healing miracles happened in Capernaum. The centurion, you remember the centurion when he came to him and, you know, had that conversation, my servant is sick, but you don't have to go there. I too am a man of authority. That happened there in Capernaum, where the guy that was paralyzed and his friends put him down a roof into Jesus. I believe it was actually, Mark says it was Jesus' house. Brought him down through the roof and Jesus healed him there. Did we fix that? Yeah, it was definitely missing. So there were a lot of recorded, biblically recorded physical healings that happened in Capernaum. And it's an interesting paradox, dichotomy there with that town, because Isaiah prophesied about Jesus coming. And he said, when Isaiah prophesied, he said, a great light would come into this dark area. I'm not saying it word for word. Talking about Jesus. And he said, a great light would come into the land of Zebulun and Naphtali. And that was right where Capernaum is. And Jesus fulfilled that prophecy by coming into the city and living there. At least that was his kind of ministry headquarters and launched there. And he went back. He spent a lot of time in his adult life that during those 3.5 years of ministry in Capernaum. But one of the things I wanted to share with you, and I think it's still true today, that even though Isaiah prophesied that the land was dark and a great light was going to be there, a great light would dawn on the people, of how many people were oblivious to that light while the light was shining? Because later in Jesus' ministry, I want to read it here. It's interesting that it was a couple weeks before we went on the trip, I actually read from this particular passage. And this exact, I'm in the wrong place, I can tell that. Well, here, while I'm here, let me just read you what Isaiah said. He said, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who were sitting in darkness saw a great light, and those who were sitting in the land a shadow of death, upon them a light dawned. From that time, Jesus began to preach and say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And again, that even though Jesus was there in the town, in the flesh, in the physical, even though he performed many miracles, a lot of healing recorded in the Bible, healings that happened right there in this small town, still people were oblivious to the light. And I see how true that is even today, because Jesus is among us. He's not just over in Israel today. He's here. He's in us. That's not just the Holy Land. The Holy Land's everywhere Jesus is. And if he's living in us, which he is for those who have been born again, then the land is holy. This land. And Jesus is among us. And Jesus is the light of the world. And how many people, how many Christians in churches today still are oblivious to the light? And then later, in Matthew chapter 11, this is the one that I had mentioned a few weeks ago. when Jesus was giving the woes, when he was pronouncing judgments on regions and cities, well, even though four of his disciples came from Capernaum, he lived there, at least off and on, for 3.5 years in that region during his ministry. He says this, "And you, Capernaum, will not be exalted to heaven, will you? You will descend to Hades. For if the miracles had occurred in Sodom, which occurred in you, it would have remained to this day." That's just an amazing statement that he says. I think most of us know how wicked and evil Sodom and Gomorrah was. And Jesus himself said that if the miracles that were done in Capernaum, if they were done in Sodom, Sodom would have repented. That's just amazing. What is he saying? The city as a city didn't, Capernaum did not repent. Even though Jesus was there, even though a great light was shining, even though he was doing many miracles and amazing things, he pronounces this later in his ministry. Capernaum will not be exalted to heaven. You will descend to Hades. For if the miracles had occurred in Sodom, which occurred in you, it would have remained to this day. Nevertheless, I say to you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for you. Wow. Wow. That's amazing. May we not be blind to the light that is shining in the darkness. Father, I pray that our eyes would be opened, that we would see. That we would have the reality that you are with us, that you are here. That you have never left us, you've never forsaken us. That you are walking among us today, you are living in our heart. That you are all around. We see you in one another. We see you in the gifts, the offices that are displayed in the body of Christ. May faith arise. May our trust level go deeper in you. May we hear accurately what the Spirit is saying. In Jesus' holy name. Just for reference, before the team comes up and shares, I just want to kind of go over just a few things. I'm not going to name every place that we went, but just a few places. I want to show you just a few pictures just to kind of get in your mind just a little bit. I know Cherie said that she was sharing some pictures and things too on Wednesday night. But as I already mentioned, we went to Caesarea Philippi, Capernaum, Masada. We took a boat ride on the Sea of Galilee. That was just, I've kind of done that for a couple days and just been out there. The Sea of Galilee, for those of you that are not aware, that's Jesus walked on water there. He calmed the storm there. They were walking there. They did a lot of things around the Sea of Galilee. We went to the place where after the resurrection, when Jesus showed up on the beach, remember he was cooking some fish and some bread. They still have a big rock where they believed he actually cooked on that rock and saw that rock. That was an amazing moment. We went to Nazareth. We went to Bethlehem. We went to Jericho, Jerusalem, all over Jerusalem, the old city, Mount of Olives, Mount of Beatitudes, the Pool of Bethesda. Remember that place? The place is sick. Jesus goes in, heals one guy. The Pool of Siloam. We actually pretty much walked in that. We'll talk about that maybe a little later. With the Hezekiah's tunnel, that was a very creepy moment there. That was, Hezekiah's tunnel is very narrow. I got a couple pictures. I'm sure maybe some others might even mention it. Hezekiah's tunnel was all chiseled through rock, goes underneath the old city of David. When they were being attacked by the Assyrians, Hezekiah did not want the Assyrians to have any water at all. The spring of Gihon is what feeds this, and then it ends up, that channels down into the Pool of Siloam. If you remember the story when Jesus healed the blind guy and put mud on his eyes, And then he said, go wash in the pool of Siloam. Well, if you get a picture too, and I tried to, there's a lot of buildings and it's built up obviously from there, but I was trying to get a picture of that where Jesus did the healing was kind of up on a hill. And when he told the guy, he's already blind and he's got mud in his eyes. And then Jesus tells him to go wash in the pool of Siloam. Well, that was quite a distance this guy had to navigate. And it's downhill through rocky terrain. Most likely he had to have had some help to get down there. That was one of the things for me is to see, where some of these biblical events happened. And, the distance between them, like some things were much closer than I envisioned them in my head. Some things were further. The rocky terrain was just unbelievable where some of the things that they had to navigate. So, anyway, we went to Tel Megiddo, that is overlooks the Valley of Armageddon. We went to En Gedi. En Gedi is where David hid out from Saul for a while. Mount Hermon. It's got snow on top, which Mount Hermon kind of overlooks Caesarea Philippi. We went to Tel Dan where the tribe of Dan, hung out, where it kind of was living. We went to Caesarea Maritima, which is on the coast. We swam in the Dead Sea. Now that, how many of you here that was not on the team have been to Israel? Anybody been to Israel before? Marie has been to Israel. Anybody else? I know Victoria, but she's not here. Okay. And the Dead Sea is an interesting thing with all the, how salty it is. I mean, you can stand in the water. You can just, you're in the water, but you're standing and you're floating, staying above the ground. It was a very, very interesting, trying to swim. It kind of like wants to push you right back out. It's an interesting thing. Most of us was baptized in the Jordan River. We went to the place where the Dead Sea Scrolls were found. And then, as I mentioned earlier, we visited three present day ministries as well. And then I want to just show you some pictures for reference. You guys ready for that? I didn't mention we went to Golgotha, the Garden Tomb, Mountain of Olives. Yeah, we went to the precipice where they were going to throw Jesus off. Gethsemane. We went to Gethsemane. I'll just keep mentioning a few things while we're getting all this ready. Bethlehem. We went to Bethlehem and went into some caves and saw what it would be like where Jesus was born. How are we doing? We doing okay? Let me ask you a question while they're figuring that out. I want to go back to Capernaum again. When Jesus pronounced judgment on the city of Capernaum, he said it would be more tolerable. Are we good? Okay. Let me just, can you guys see that okay? I'll turn a few lights off here. Thanks, Wyatt. That is part of the Pool of Bethesda there. You can just go on to the next one, just maybe a few seconds. That's still part of the Pool of Bethesda. What's that? That's right. There's a spot there where Jesus is born. There, it's interesting. There's a few spots like this one where either the Catholic Church, the Greek Orthodox Church, Russian Orthodox Church actually built a whole church over it. And you have to go into the basement and find out to see where it's at. This is one of those. You can go to the next. Well, take that in while we're moving along. Just.
Let's put it this way. Yeah. No to
yeah. I don't know what that is because we didn't see that. There's the Sea of Galilee. That's a boat ride on the Sea of Galilee. There's Caesarea Philippi. That's the gate of Hades right there. Some niches in the wall. Those of you that were here, that's when I first talked about Ecclesia. We showed a lot of these pictures, if you remember it. That's the stream. They said that a couple different people had said that that water looked like blood from all of the sacrifices back in the day. That's how much blood. They would throw, if you remember, they would throw animals, sometimes human sacrifice, into the cave. The water. That is Capernaum, what the ruins of Capernaum. This is, we went to, when Jesus was arrested, he was brought to Caiaphas's house, and there's a courtyard still there where Peter denied Jesus. And then next to, I always have a problem with his name, Caiaphas's house, there's a dungeon and a pit where they are pretty sure they threw Jesus for a little bit of time down into this pit. This is a hole that's actually in the roof. We're in the pit looking up. There's a bunch of pretty trees.
Olive
trees, yeah. This is Gethsemane here. Yeah, this is Gethsemane. This is the first night. These pictures are not in any order, as you can already tell, but this is the team that went, the group that went, and that's Jerusalem at night. In the city lights. Okay, help me with this, but I'm thinking this might be Hezekiah's tunnel. I'm not sure. Use your imagination. Yes, that's Hezekiah. The picture's actually sideways. That's water on the right, so it's tilted for some reason. And we walk through this. It's about almost 6 football fields. It's 1,750 feet long. There was one spot where water went up to the upper thigh. Most of it was ankle deep. Very, very tight. I am glad I did it. I will never do it again. Yeah. There were spots where I had to walk sideways. It's so tight. There's Renee. That picture's still tilted. Now we're back to the pit again, where they may have thrown Jesus in and they hung people by their arms or whatever there inside this dungeon. That's part of this dungeon pit. That's also, all of those are part of that. This is the old city Jerusalem, mostly on the right. Does anybody know what that is? It's the Dome of the Rock. Up on the Temple Mount is all controlled by Muslims. There's a mosque up there. And then the Dome of the Rock. That Dome of the Rock is sitting over where they believe a rock, where they believe Abraham almost sacrificed Ishmael. They also believe that Muhammad ascended to heaven on a winged horse from that spot. Yeah, Jay. All the time. Yes. Yeah. That is the rock that's inside of this, I guess it's basically a church building. There's Muslims and there's Muslim areas all over Israel. This is the rock that said that Jesus cooked the fish and bread on. That's the area, that's the beach area where Jesus, was. That's also where he had the conversation with Peter. You remember, Peter, do you love me? 3 times. That's the Sea of Galilee. That's us, New Covenant team, right in front of the gate of hell on Caesarea Philippi. That is our team again from New Covenant, and that's the Valley of Armageddon in the background. We are on top of Tel Megiddo with the Valley of Armageddon. These pictures, for whatever reason, are kind of bleached out on here, but they look much better than what they're showing up. That's the Pool of Siloam. So when we walk through Hezekiah's tunnel filled with water, we came out right into the Pool of Siloam. This is inside. Yes, there's water all the way through from the Gihon Springs, 1,750 feet, all the way into the Pool of Siloam. What's that? I don't think that's what they. Yeah. This is inside. Hey, let's do this if you guys don't mind. I don't mind questions and stuff, but if we can kind of make it brief and then get everybody up to ask questions. And then maybe after that, we can really ask a lot of questions and stuff. Is that okay? This is inside the Garden Tomb. There's 2 areas in Jerusalem where it is believed by different groups where Jesus was crucified, where Jesus was buried, and where he rose from the dead. One of them is got a Catholic church. This is real common that when there's a holy site, somebody builds a church over it, Catholic church or whatever. And there's one that's called the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. This is not it. This is the Garden Tomb. And they built a site over where they believe Jesus was crucified. And on the other side, this is a huge church building. And on the other side, they believe that's where he was buried. The only problem biblically is all of that's within the city walls. And the Bible's very plain that it did not happen within the city walls. It happened outside. So the Garden Tomb is probably the most likely spot. I personally believe it is the spot. And this is one of the tombs. It was definitely owned by a rich person. It's in a beautiful garden, like the Bible said. There's a well there that would feed and water the garden there. It is fairly close to Golgotha, which the rocks have a formation of a skull. Remember, Golgotha means the place of the skull. That's fairly close to this. So anyway, that's inside the tomb. That's outside. That is the Western Wall. Some people call it the Wailing Wall, but it's the Western Wall. We went there and prayed and... Was that it? That's good. Okay. Hey, Bruce and Deborah, would you guys want to come and share? I do want to just ask everybody that's coming to share, if you please keep it to about 5 minutes a person so everybody can get through. There you go.
Wow. What an experience. You know, first of all, I'd just like to say thanks and glory and honor and praise be to God. You know, it's like Joe said earlier, he kind of took some words out of my mouth. And, you know, just all the different things that we saw really brought the Bible more to life for me. We saw... You know, the birthplace of Jesus in Bethlehem and, you know, all the different places through his ministry. And then, of course, you know, the tomb and all that through the end. So it just kind of brought everything to life. And for me, it was just a very humbling experience. I would say life-changing. I have an appreciation for the people over there and a love for them that I didn't have before. You know, there's a lot of poverty in Israel, and we were in a lot of places where, you know, you just drive along the roads and there's just trash and filth everywhere. And, you know, we take our country and here in America for granted, I think. We have so much and are so blessed, and you know, I think in our daily lives we just don't realize it. But, you know, for me, a lot of the highlights were obviously being baptized again in the Jordan. And like Joe said earlier, too, which I had, this was part of my testimony there at the river, was, you know, this may not have been the exact place that Jesus was baptized in the Jordan. And obviously the water, there's been a lot of water flow through there. It's not the same, but God is still the same.
That's right.
Yesterday, yeah. Today, and forever. He will never change. Never has, never will. And of course, Deborah and I have both flown before. I've flown for business, and of course, she's traveled different countries and things like that. And after almost 30 years of being married, this was the first time we got to fly together. And what a time and experience to go together. I'm just glad I had my best friend with me to experience all this.
Wow, I think what, you know, there's so much, you know, so many things that took place and so many experiences we experienced. And when I go, you know, I got to go once before, and I told the Lord when I came home, I was exhausted just like I am now, because I still want to eat at the wrong time. And I got up at midnight and I was ready to go and, you know, just messed up. But, you know, I came home exhausted, but then I told the Lord, I said, can I, you know, I'd really love to go back one day with Bruce. But I really didn't think Bruce would come to the point where he'd be interested to go, but God, you know, and then God gave us the opportunity to experience this together. And I'm very grateful for that because, you know, it really is life changing. And, as I would journey through the land, you know, you're putting your feet where Jesus had his feet and you're looking at the things that have changed a little, but some places not hardly at all. And I try to take it in so that I can keep it and take it home, you know, with me and then share it because, you know, we got to journey, but then there's people back here that want to know about the journey and the things that we experienced. But I'm so grateful that the Lord gave me, like Bruce said, opportunity to go with him and experience this with him. And we walked through the city, you know, Jerusalem, and I just have this heart for Jerusalem. And I believe, I know what happened to me last time was the Lord planted a seed in me, and he gave me opportunity on this trip that what that seed grew into, to lay it back out in the same place that he gave that to me, but as like a full-grown flower, you know, I considered it a flower seed. You know, what an honor that God would allow that. And I don't know why he allowed that. I'm just grateful that he did. And you know, as I never felt afraid as I walked through the land. Not one time, you know, we went through some areas that probably a lot of groups wouldn't have gone. And, but I didn't feel a fear because there was a great presence of the Lord with us, you know. We were his children and he sent us there and he protected us as we were there. And I didn't feel fear. I felt urgency to pray. You know, just this urgency. And I stayed up one night just pacing the floor. My legs were hurting and I was so tired. And I thought, Lord, you know, I hadn't experienced that like that way before, but it had to do with the United Nations, you know? And I thought, this is so strange, Lord. Do you have anybody up? Is there anybody else that feels this kind of thing, you know? Well, sure enough, I don't know if it was the next day or 2 days later, we get into Jerusalem, and Crystal can vouch for this one. And I'm like, oh, wow, I just love Jerusalem. Opened up my window. I said, Bruce, let's open this window and pray out over the city. And you know what was right next to us with the flag flying right next to our bedroom? United Nations, their embassy was there with their vehicles and their flag. And then I knew the Lord wanted things declared and prayed over that. Bruce and I did a few times while we were there, but he prepared in advance for different things. But what, you know, what I wanted to say is when Jesus walked the earth in the first, you know, when he came and he was in this land, it was like this great pressure was going on in that land because the Messiah was there. They weren't accepting him. They didn't see the light. And the pressure just grew and grew. And what did they do? They crucified him. There was this great pressure and tension in the land. And from that out to the nations flowed because of his blood. The whole story of the whole thing flowed out from there to the nations. Salvation for the world. And then as I was walking the land, I felt this pressure. I had peace. You know, I was joyful to be there. Actually, I had more energy. I told Bruce, I said, I felt like that scripture where it says, you know, you'll run and not be weary and not walk and not faint. I had that energy on the inside of me, but I felt in the spirit the tension, just like I felt like the Lord showed me in the first place when it bursted, when he died and his blood spilled out and it went to the nations. It's now coming back to Jerusalem. And the tension is building and building and building because the Messiah is returning soon. So that's what the tension in the land is. It was there when he first walked the land, and it's building and building, and you can feel it, but we walked in the peace of God. But that tension in the land, and I can tell you why I know there's tension in the land, because Bruce and I were up on the Temple Mount. You and you guys were gone. We were with the group that was left, and they wanted us off that mount right now. You get out this gate right now, you go, kind of thing, you know, because they didn't like our presence. They didn't. You know, it was Jesus. They even asked our group if we had a Jew. You have a Jew with you? You know, and it was like they wanted us off of the Temple Mount, you know? So, you know, it's just that pressure is there, but it's still peace. Peace that passes understanding. Shalom, peace that, you know, we're to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. It's just that time. It's where we're at in history, and I'm thankful that he allowed us to go. We have a lot of praying to do.
Just a little bit more. Just a testimony to how good God is. I mean, we had, other than just a few minor incidents with someone falling and getting scraped and a headache, and I won't say who it was. But
not falling and getting scraped is the help.
Our group, though, I just really enjoyed our group. I mean, we just made such good contacts. Or, you know, sometimes when you get in groups, like our church could have been a clique within this group, but everybody spread out and got to know different people that were along. There were no cliques. Everybody just got along and just gelled wonderfully. And I enjoyed that so much. Enjoyed the Zookas going. Of course, our pastors, we love you guys. And, it was, again, just a wonderful experience. I just so thankful to get to be with everybody that we went with. And again, especially with my wife. So thank you.
That's great. Those two are a blessing too. You know, they were talking about, I think Deborah talked about walking, and I didn't even realize my iPhone was keeping track of our steps. But anyway, we walked 41 and a half miles and 180 floors, flights, not floor. Yeah, floors, flights of stairs. We did a lot of walking. Yeah. And I'm sure Cade did even more. Wyatt and Crystal and Cade, you don't all have to come at the same time if you don't want to, but you can. I started the timer. No, I'm just kidding.
kind of like he said, I'm not a total control freak, but I am. But going with a group that you don't really know, and you're putting yourself out there, and like he said, we didn't, you know, mesh together. We spread out. We got to know the other people that we were with. And what a great bunch of people. I mean, it was really incredible. And so many different things. That's just really humbling. For me, you know, I took the musical instrument so we could have praise and worship. And doing praise and worship in some of the holiest areas that we went, and I could begin to tell you all of them, but for me was probably the highlight was to be able to pray and play in the areas that we got to do praise and worship at, because as a lot of you, maybe some of you do know or don't know, that I've never had any type of musical background whatsoever, but the Lord blessed me with that. And so for me to be able to go and to perform, not really perform, but to play in these areas was breathtaking. So anyway, long story short, that was for me the highlight. The other was the geography of, especially when we got up to the Sea of Galilee, that places like the Mount of Beatitudes and where he fed the multitudes, and Capernaum, how close they were. I mean, they were all within, you know, basically a few blocks or a quarter mile from each other. So they're strategically all in this area. And, you know, unless you go there, you don't realize how, you know, how close all these events happen. And so that was very cool. That was very cool. I did not go through Hezekiah Tunnel. I will honestly tell you that was way beyond my comfort zone. And they couldn't have drug me through there. We did do another tunnel tour right at the Western Wall, and it was something that, and I don't remember how long ago they excavated it. But it takes you down to the original foundation that, if I remember hearing right, dated back 3,000 years ago, and slabs of rock and that they have carved out, which was as big, if not bigger, than this whole backdrop here, correct? and that was, it was a little tight, and I was breathing extremely hard, and it was tough. But it puts you to what they truly believe, and once again, my wife will tell me if I'm wrong, to the closest spot where they believe that Mount Moriah was, correct? On the western wall. And they had a little niche set out there, and there were some people down there that were praying. But the archaeological part of it also, for me, I kind of love history, but things that we could walk up and we could touch that has been there for 2,000, 3,000 years old, that is still there, and to touch it and to feel it and get a feel for the people who built it and constructed it, and detail in not only the old city of Jerusalem, but when you got down to things that was built 2,500 years ago, the detail in the form, in the joints and the form where the blocks and stuff were built was as well defined as what these blocks are. How they crossed them and they chiseled, and these are things were chiseled out, and you're talking 4 and 5, 6 ton pieces of slab rock that goes back to history. It just unbelievable, absolutely unbelievable, and very breathtaking. Got my picture taken with a couple Israeli soldiers with machine guns. The girls who originally wanted their picture, as I have some pictures that the girls were running off, and the guys are like, hey, man, come, we'll take a picture. So I got a couple pictures with a couple Israeli soldiers with machine guns. Saw quite a few Israeli jets doing, five or six of them flying around pretty continuously. So it kind of kept your, it made you aware of, every once in a while you had to stop and think, it goes where you're really at, and you're surrounded by, I mean, we overlook Syria and Jordan and some of these other areas. And so, but anyway, very humbling experience. I came this close. Not going. On the morning that we were leaving, but we won't get into all that because the enemy was trying to steal my joy. And I'm so glad that I didn't let him.
Okay, so I promise not to take too much of your time by ranting on like I did with Bruce most of the time. But... to me, it really set the Bible alive. When I was just a kid, you know, you always hear about the Bible stories. It's like David and Goliath. We went to the Valley of Elah where David slayed Goliath. And I was always like, well, you know, that's a long story, many, many, many thousands of years ago. And then I went there, I was like, oh, this actually happened. This is real, such as Caesarea Philippi and many of the other places that we went to. And being able to be there and walk there was pretty, pretty amazing. Especially in the Valley of Elah, where I picked 5 stones from the riverbed where David would have picked the stones. And that was pretty amazing. But also just walking there, and it just made sense to me where all the places were and what happened there. And when Jesus told his disciples that he would meet them on the other side of the Sea of Galilee, I thought the sea was like humongously huge and gigantic, but it wasn't. You could still see to the other side. So that made sense to me why Jesus would said he'd meet them on the other side, because it was within walking distance. But... I don't really have much else to say other than it really just brought the Bible to life, and it makes you have a new understanding of what actually happened.
I was really proud of both of my men on this trip. First of all, Cade was the only youth, the next closest to him was 21. So he was with a group of basically 18 adults, and he did an amazing job. And I was very, very proud of him. Second, I was very proud of my husband, because when he said he was this close, we're talking 45 minutes. He had decided that morning not to go. I had unpacked, I had repacked, I had loaded the car, and he was not going. And he was not home. And I got a text message from him about 12:45, and we texted back and forth, and I said, you know, come home. We're not disappointed in you. We're disappointed that you're not going with us. And he made the choice to stand on what God's word says about him and to walk in that. And we repacked in 20 minutes and loaded the car and left for the airport. To grab a shower, pack, and get in the car. And we had all been praying for him all morning. And it's an area of his life that I think he would say he struggles with. And I was very, very proud of him that he chose to stand on the word of God and what is said. And that kind of leads me to a couple of things about the trip. One of my favorite places was the Pool of Bethesda. It was the last day that we were there. We finally got there. Jesus did a ton of healings, and Capernaum was pretty cool too, when you think about everything that he did. But I taught at the Pool of Bethesda, and in John 5:1, it tells the story. And any tour book you look at, anything you look at, it says the man was there for 38 years waiting for the water to be stirred. And then Jesus came and said, pick up your mat and go. But that isn't all that Jesus said. And this really relates to my husband, and it relates to me. I think it relates to all of us in different areas in our life. The first thing Jesus said was, do you want to be made well? Are you willing to lay down your thoughts, your ideas of the way I should do it or what should happen? Are you willing to quit going around the mountain for spiritual healing, emotional healing, physical healing? And I think we all have areas sometimes that we hang on to, and, you know, we want a relationship to be fixed, or we want a problem to be solved, or we want a healing in our body, and we have an idea of how we want it. You know, we want our husbands to be a certain way. We want our wives to be a certain way. We want our kids to be a certain way. Oh, Lord, heal them. When in reality, he's saying, do you want to be healed? Are you willing to trust me, hear my voice, and do what I want you to do? Are you willing to stand on my word and believe what my word says no matter what? Because this word is true. And just standing there in that place and hearing, I could almost hear him saying, do you want to be healed? Do you really want to lay down your, or pick up your cross and follow me? Lay down your flesh. And so that was just a really great place for me. The other place that I thought was really interesting were the Shepherd of the Hills. And we had a tour guide there, plus we had a wonderful speaker that spoke to us. But something I didn't know, and these are the things that you grasp through the journey. You know, Joe says when you read the Bible, you got to know who's talking. You got to know where it's being said. You got to know the context it's being said in. You know, understand everything that's going on, because it isn't our culture. And, you know, Jesus was born. He was wrapped in swaddling clothes. He was laid in a trough. We know that. We know the story. We've heard all of that. You know, well, they didn't have any clothes, so they did this, and then they put him in a trough. Really interesting, because the shepherds are still there at the shepherd, in the shepherd. They still have flocks. I've got a quick snapped picture as we were going by on the bus, and it was like shepherds with sheep, snap. And, they were still there. And at that point in Jesus's day, and probably before, you know, they needed lambs to sacrifice. And the lambs had to be pure and spotless. And they were telling us that when, and I mean, you're talking thousands of people, you know, they're guesstimating 20,000 lambs, you know, at Passover. So when the lambs are born, the shepherds would take them up as soon as they were born. They would wrap them in clothing and place them in troughs so that they would not get injured and they would be pure and spotless. So when the angel came and said, come, he's been born. And they went and they saw him wrapped in swaddling clothes and in a trough. It was very obvious to them that he was the Lamb of God. Now, see, if you didn't know that portion of the story, then you get it, but now you really get it. And that was kind of the way our trip was. The Lord would reveal things to us, little detail things, and you'd be like, oh, when you're in Engedi and you're climbing up and looking at the caves and Cade stood in the waterfall and you realize that you're in the middle of a desert in an oasis with the only fresh water around. And this is where the Lord kept him safe from Saul, where he cut off Saul's robe. But there's plenty of food. There's plenty of water. Water's huge, living water. And yet there's none. I mean, you're looking out at the Dead Sea. There's no other fresh water around. And to have that place provided, I will not read a Psalm of David again without thinking about Engedi and what he is talking about. And I don't think he wrote the 23rd Psalm there, but man, he sure could have. You know, though I walk through the valley of death, the desert, Masada is out in a desert, there's nothing. And you make me lie down in green pastures, and then you walk into this place and there's grass and it's quiet and it's refreshing. And I mean, it was just, the Lord moved in so many ways with people, with our team, with, you know, our families. And he just revealed so much. I'm sure all of us are still downloading all of the information. And I was trying to journal every day on Facebook because I knew if I didn't get it down that I wasn't going to remember it. And yet to even I would get 2 days behind and I'd be like, I've got to get back to that day that I'm 2 days behind on because we're getting so much more information downloaded. Hezekiah's tunnel, the Western Wall, getting separated from the team when we came off the Temple of the Mount and ending up back in the plaza after a few negotiating routes. Capernaum, the Sea of Galilee. I mean, you could just sense Jesus' presence, especially in the Sea of Galilee. I sensed it very, very strongly. So it's just, again, those spots, the Mount of Olives, and I spoke there also about the last words Jesus said when he left, because when he ascended to heaven, he was on the Mount of Olives. And that was where he told the disciples to go to Jerusalem and commanded them to go to Jerusalem and wait until they were baptized with the Holy Spirit in power to be able to accomplish what he wanted to accomplish. And you could just sense him telling them, seeing them there, go back across the Kidron Valley, go find a place in Jerusalem and stay there until you get this. And it's just, I'm speechless about a lot of things that I'm not speechless very often, but it really, truly was an amazing time.
Awesome. Thank you, guys. Thank you. Thank you very much. And last, but certainly not least, my beautiful inside and out wife, Renee. Hey, as she come and Crystal referenced something just, and I meant to make note of this and say something too, about the Temple Mount. I may have referenced it, but you know, on the Temple Mount, they don't allow Jews up on the Temple Mount. We have to go through a checkpoint and security, and anything Jewish is not allowed up there. We were wearing kippahs. I had my tallit with me. They pulled it out of my bag. You cannot take this to the temple. Any literature, there was literature on the Western Wall. You cannot take this onto the Temple Mount. And it's completely Muslim up there. Gary, you lived there, what, 3 months? In 2008 for like 3 months or so. And what happened, when we got up there, we only had like 10 minutes before they closed, and like, I took off. And Wyatt and Crystal and Cade and Renee and I, so we got separated from our group because I wanted to take some pictures, video, decree some things, get around that. And they shoot us off pretty quick, and I wanted my tallit back too. So I called Eric and the team leader, and they shooed them off another direction. So that's, we kind of got lost and separated, but I wanted my tallit back. So we went and got that back and got reconnected. And yeah. Here's Renee again.
That's awesome. Oh, hello. Okay. To be honest, I almost didn't go. And for different reasons. My reason was because of the laboring and the intensity of praying over this nation to get the right person in office, and the trip was going to be over the inauguration. And I wanted to see it through. I wanted to see our president, Trump, through till the very end. So it was very difficult for me to yield my heart to the Lord. And then when the Lord said, go, and it seemed good to my heart, I said yes. And then they ended up a couple weeks later shortening the trip by one day. So guess what? The Lord knew that. So I got to be home for the inauguration, which is very important to my heart. So the Lord, He always makes a way where there seems to be no way if we just trust Him. You know, and it took a huge amount of faith for me because that's just how I roll. If the Lord gives me something to do, I see it through to the end. And I didn't want to leave until Trump was officially our president. So, but amen, he is. But, you know, for me, going to Israel was a privilege and an honor. And there's too many things to say that words cannot hold. Does that make sense? But what I will share with you is, for me, one of the reasons I knew that I was going, if this makes any sense at all, but it was kind of on assignment. And, for some of you that may know, I always kind of tease and say, you know, I'm God's secret ninja because I feel like that God, like, He kind of quietly has us slipping in and out of places and doing things in those places. And then it's like, nobody knows you're even there, you know, except for the Lord and, you know, all the devils in hell, you know, because they know you're there. But the scripture right before he left, and you know, any good ninja never tells exactly what God spoke until it's all done. But I love the Lord. He gave, and first he spoke it in Deuteronomy 11:24, and then in Jeremiah 1:3. And this was the exact scripture the Lord gave me before this building was ours, and he had me walk around this building and decree this. And when the Lord has you decree something, then it comes to pass that which he has spoken, right? So we're in this building. There was no way we'd have been in it, but it's the same scripture. And this is a scripture. I'm going to read it out of Deuteronomy. It's 11:24. Every place where you set your foot will be yours. So I knew that the Lord was going to cause our team and myself to set our feet on places that we would decree that is the kingdom of God's, that belongs to the ecclesia, that belongs to the Abraham, to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So some of those places for me, and I'm going to share, every place I went, I loved. It's just the richness of history and the ground and everything. I just loved all of it. There wasn't anything I liked because I loved all of it. But these are the areas that were on assignment for us. The first one I felt where the Lord wanted to release some decrees was actually in the city of Tiberias. Tiberias, if you guys have any history, and I won't take too long, but it's just, I feel like these things are important, that it was known as a city of rabbis. I mean, rabbi after rabbi after rabbi went through Tiberias, but they all rejected Christ. They got into mysticism, and they got into like Kabbalism and all this stuff. And if you read Jesus, he didn't go there. And so one night, matter of fact, it was the last day we were there, and Joe and I, when we were staying in that hotel, we opened up the window, and we'd overlook the Sea of Galilee. And so as we opened the window, and it was kind of funny because I kept hearing Bruce's and Deborah's voice. I kept looking around like, where are you guys? But then unbeknownst to me, they were also praying out their window. So the Lord had given them. But so I opened the window, and I began to decree over Tiberius that you belong to the living God, that you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, and that I repent for every rabbi that came into this place and they rejected the Lamb. You know, and so I just began to call Tiberius back into, you know, that the great, and also they said that the glory of the Lord would return, because the last synagogue, that existed was in Tiberias. And they said that the glory of the Lord, they believe that actually their movement will happen in Tiberias even before it will Jerusalem. You know, all the traditional rabbis do. So he talked about the glory of the Lord returning to Tiberias first and the synagogue being restored there first, or the Sanhedrin, excuse me, I said synagogue, but it's Sanhedrin first before it's established in Jerusalem. So we just said instead that will be the ecclesia will be established in Tiberias. As opposed to the Sanhedrin. So that was one area that the Lord had, me decree the scripture and other things over is throughout the window, looking over the Sea of Galilee and the city of Tiberias. The next place where, that occurred where, as we went up to the very high place, it was very, very high. I think it was probably one of the highest places we went, and we stood on this army, like, battlement area where they had underground bunkers and all this stuff. And as we looked out over the land, over this valley, we could see the Damascus Road and the Syria border. Man, we were born for such a time as this. So I just began to decree again that land, you know, that they would, that the borders, that they wouldn't cross over, that Syria wouldn't, that they wouldn't shoot their missiles, that they wouldn't go into Israel, that they wouldn't, you know, and all these things from this high place looking down over this and this Damascus Road that Jesus actually walked on too, you know. And so that was pretty, pretty a neat experience for me, that. And then the other place was the Dome of the Rock. And, I'm glad that in a way that our group did get split up, because we were both doing the same thing at different locations. We were all doing the same thing. And that is decreeing, because I don't know about, I mean, I do know about all of us. There's nothing more righteously indignation that rises up in you is when this holy site is being controlled and owned by Muslims. It belongs to the people of God. It belongs to the Jews. The Dome of the Rock shouldn't even be there. And so just to even be there, and then for them to not even welcome God's family, God's children into that place and to say no Jews are allowed. It just boils and it just burns. So we just got up there and I just began to, and I think I was with Crystal at this point. We're just decreeing this Joshua, you know, 1:3:11:24 over this, where we put our foot wherever it belongs to us. It belongs to God. It belongs to the family of God. And so that was a huge marker too that, and then, you know, when we were done, you know, they had, like Joe said, they took us to Leet and all that. And we were done. We left, to go down back to the front and wait for the rest of our team. But they're like, you're out of here. Get out, get out, get out, get out. They wouldn't let us in. They were like, you're out that exit. And you know, because it was Muslim controlled, tourists had to be out by 1:30. No negotiations. Now, if you're a Muslim, you could stay there much longer. But we weren't rear tourists, so you're out. Well, we went out a different way, but we're like, we're not leaving without his tallit. We're not leaving. So we ended up circling back around, getting it, and praise God for all that kind of good stuff. But so, it's a wonderful experience. They're taking another team next year in January. So if you guys want to go, the same leader's going to lead it. They're great. They're nice. They're awesome. They're wonderful. They're fun. But if you're interested in going, also too, I wanted to thank Deborah. Deborah had been before with Sid Roth Ministries on missions. She added a lot to the information that we were given. There was a lot of richness that we wouldn't have known if she hadn't said, hey, this is where this is. This is where this is. This is where that's happened and all that. So I just want to thank you, Deborah, for that, because it did offer a lot more richness to the experience that we wouldn't have gotten, you know. And, but anyway, so if you guys want to go, begin saving up and begin getting on your stepmaster and all that, because you're going to need it. But I just want you guys to know that it's amazing with the Lord, because he does everywhere we go, everywhere our foot, when he gives you that word, everywhere your foot treads, it belongs to you and to the kingdom of God. And we've seen it time and time again. This building is an example. We're going to see a mighty move of God in Tiberias. We're going to see Jerusalem established as, again, the headquarters, the place. I mean, I believe that even Trump, I believe what he says, he's going to put our embassy in Jerusalem. You know, there's just some things that are happening. And as God's people stand and we agree with God and what he's doing, and I love it what Avi Abrahami is a Messianic Jew. He's doing amazing work in Tel Aviv, which By the way, I did not like Tel Aviv. It was a very dark spiritual climate. But here's the man that's there, and he's doing awesome work. He's on the 12th floor. And by the way, there's a lot of prophetic symbolisms. We went to the 12th floor. Our bus was number 7. It was parked in number 5 gate. I mean, it was just like on and on and on. There was so much prophetic symbolism and numbers and this and that that it's just hard to keep up with it all. But it's just a constant reinforcement that God says, you're here for a time such as this. You're called to be here. And we never, ever felt threatened at all. I mean, the most threatened I felt is one day I got meat. I thought it was lamb. And I took one bite of it. I'm like, oh, this ain't lamb. You know, I don't know what way they were trying to feed us that day. But word taught y'all, if you go on this trip and you're outside with a vendor and you're going to order something, stick with falafel. Don't order a meat because I don't know what kind of meat you might get. But whatever we got, Crystal and Kay both have it. It was not lamb. So anyway, but that was the most threatened I felt, was that I wasn't sure what some of the food was. But it wasn't because there wasn't threatening things that were there, because there was a lot, but the Lord just had his hand all over us, and he really did. So thank you guys for praying for us, because we knew you were praying. We could feel your prayers. We could feel your love. Thank you so much, because we all went together. We accomplished as a body what God called us to accomplish, and we'll be sharing more pictures and more stuff with you later as it happens. But again, watch the Dome of the Rock, watch Jerusalem, watch Tiberias, watch that Syrian border to Damascus and all the other areas. I'm sure others have more, but I knew specifically that's why God called me in this particular thing, was to be his secret ninja in some areas to where my foot could touch, because I had to touch it. My foot had to touch it, and I knew it. And so anyway, so praise God. God is good. Shalom, and our words, sababa. That's our word, sababa. Probably, that means, man, everything's good. Everything is just like, so we, if you guys hear that, you'll know that's our Jewish word, is sababa. Why don't you come and say it?
We were together when he said that. We had an amazing bus driver. I mean, this man was incredible. He knew Israel backwards, forwards, inside out. He put that bus on the curb. You stepped off. You never missed a curb. He loaded and unloaded our luggage. And he was sweet, and he was kind, and he always had a smile. The last couple of days, he'd hurt his back, but he never complained. But the last thing he said, the last picture I posted on my Facebook was with Renee and I with Rami. And the last thing he said to us was, please go home. Tell your friends about my beautiful country. Tell them not to listen to the news and to come and see for themselves how beautiful my country is. And that's it. The news is no different over there, guys, as it is over here. They take the things that are the hype and that are the things that are going to sell, and that's what they promote. And it was a beautiful country, and it was a beautiful trip. And if you can go, I would seek the Lord and save your money and definitely go, because he was right. It's a beautiful land, and we have traveled extensively, and I've never been anywhere like this. It was amazing.
That's awesome.
Thank you. Yeah, and just one other thing too, if you ever get there and you go to Bethlehem, also pray too, because the Palestinians are in control of like Jericho, and it just broke your heart to see just the dirt, and just the filth in Jericho, and you know, knowing the history of God and parts of Bethlehem, just, you know, you're like, ah. You know, it just kind of grieved your heart. But if you do get to Bethlehem, go eat at the Grotto restaurant. That was the best food. I outate my husband. I was the last woman standing, and I enjoyed it.
Thank you. Sorry if I just take a couple more minutes. I mean, if you need to go, please feel free to leave. I just wanted to share just a couple little spot things. We mentioned that Dome on the Rock a few times. Hi, Miss Jerry.
I don't want to miss the opportunity to say, God's Holy Spirit does prompt us. We must listen and do what he says. And this morning, as I sat outside and thanked him for a beautiful day and for America and all my blessings, his voice said, you must go and listen today and be so proud. I am so proud of those who got to go And most of all, sharing this day. Some days are better than others. Shoo away on the bad ones. We have objectives, and we must believe and reach out to bless others.
Amen. Amen. Come here. You're a sweetheart. We referenced the Dome of the Rock a few times. Now, the Dome of the Rock is sitting on top of Mount Moriah. That's where Abraham almost sacrificed Isaac. It is the Temple Mount. It is where they built the temple, Solomon's temple, and it was rebuilt again. But I just wanted to mention, we may talk about this later, especially on a Wednesday night, but inside the Dome of the Rock, there's an inscription. Okay, the Dome of the Rock is Muslim. It's all owned and controlled by Muslims. And it says this, on the Temple Mount, over Mount Moriah. O you people of the book, speaking of Jews and Christians, overstep not bounds in your religion, and of God speak only the truth. The Messiah, Jesus, son of Mary, is only an apostle.